The U.S. Senate has overwhelmingly approved a new North American Free Trade Agreement. It rewrites the rules of trade with Canada and Mexico, replacing the 25-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, known as NAFTA, which tore down trade barriers. Critics blamed NAFTA for encouraging U.S. companies to move their manufacturing plants south of the border, taking advantage of low-wage labor and less regulation. And there's been no small amount of talk about how this new deal, the USMCA, will affect the domestic auto industry. Kristen Gicek is Vice President for Industry, Labor, and Economics at the Center for Automotive Research. Kristen, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me, April.
Do you think the deal as it stands right now is a win for the Big Three?
Well, you know, a win for the Big Three and for all of the automotive industry in Michigan and in the United States is to continue to have free trade in North America. I mean, the supply chains that have been built up since NAFTA was first instituted mean that we're really making vehicles together. We're not just trading with each other. And, you know, the threat that that might have gone away was significant, and I think, you know, you couldn't discount it. I think the big win is that there continues to be that free flow of automotive goods across this region.
Right. Cars and trucks are put together in pieces these days. You're saying this deal delivers the seamless zero tariff border crossings that the automakers need to keep the assembly process moving from one country to the next?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we're looking at digesting all of the things that happened in the UAW negotiations this last fall.
Right.
And looking at what our forecasts are for automotive production, it looks like U.S. automotive production is going to increase modestly, not just for the Detroit 3 automakers, but for all automakers. And that may have been a response to the risks they were facing about potentially having their production on the wrong side of the border in a trade conflict within North America. So, you know, most of the automakers are going to show an increase in U.S. production.
Part of this deal requires that at least 30% of the work on a car or truck to be done by workers earning $16 an hour. That's, again, aimed at lower wage workers in Mexico. It's still lower go ahead.
It's 40% of cars, 45% of trucks have to be made at the labor value content rule. There are credits within that where it's assembled and for doing research and development or IT work in the country. There's a number of labor reforms aimed at Mexico. Mexico had to pass labor law reforms before they could even move forward to the stage that they're at now. But I don't think very many folks think that this is going to raise the wage in Mexico to $16 an hour. What it's going to do is make sure a certain percentage of the vehicle is made in a high-wage region like the United States or Canada.
It does seem there's an awful lot in this agreement from Mexico to comply with, some of it outside of the auto industry. The Mexican government will have to allow some things to make union representation easier. Do you think it's realistic that Mexico is going to be able to implement all this in a timely way?
Well, they did pass the labor law reforms about making unionization easier. And then there were some last-minute dealings just before the House passed the USMCA that put in place some monitoring and making sure that, that Mexico is complying with those changes that were necessitated and that were required to move the deal forward. So, you know, the AFL-CIO, the powerful coalition of unions, did endorse the USMCA, but only after they extracted some of those labor law changes in Mexico and the enforcement mechanism for that.
Do you think that the provisions that are in this agreement will hold up as the industry moves toward electrification in most of its models?
I think, you know, that's a very interesting question. And one thing is, you know, when the president looked to renew or renegotiate NAFTA, that was one of the big criticisms, is that NAFTA based content on a set list of parts. And there were parts on that list that were no longer in vehicles. 8-track tape players is the one that Secretary Ross mentioned, and distributor caps and things like that. It was a set list, and it hadn't changed in many, many years. This new paradigm for how we count content is much more flexible to modernization of the content. So there's a broader swath of vehicle content that will be counted as originating in North America. Before, if it wasn't on that list, they just said, oh, well, it must have been made in North America. It was called deemed originating. And there was a lot of stuff on that list that wasn't originating in North America. So, you know, I think this is a much more flexible and modern approach to those changes in vehicles. But on electrification, you know, many of the electric vehicles produced in the U.S. Have some of the lower U.S. and Canadian content. That's the only publicly available data set we have.
Kristen, I'm sorry, we do have to wrap this up. We'd like to come back to this issue later in the year. Kristen Gichek from the Center for Automotive Research.
Sorry.